We are live. R&R at the mansion. We're live from the mansion. I am your host, Reagan Starnell. Welcome to the R&R cast. We're real excited to have you here, as you can tell. It's festive. I got the R&R shirt. We got it all. We're here. We've got a hell of a show lined up for you guys. I mean, a hell of a show. We have Joe Gaither from Tide 100.9. We've got Alphonse Taylor, former starting right guard. Maybe Derrick Henry doesn't have his Heisman if it's not for Alphonse Taylor blocking. I don't know. We're going to ask him later. And then the creme de la creme, the coup de grace, coup de grace, as it's called. But we've got it all. But the final one, the best guest of the night, what I am so looking forward to, are there. We've got one of them here. But they are the directors and writers of the Fat Man movie that me and Devin, we just finished watching. Ian and Esham, did I say that right? Eshan?
No, Bailey.
Okay, all right. So they are the Nelms brothers. You've heard of some famous brothers, the Russo brothers, the Wachowski used to be brothers, now they're the Wachowski sisters. But these two guys have just come out with this amazing movie called Fat Man. It is it's an awesome take on Santa Claus in a way that you've never seen Santa before. I mean, Swole Santa, it's Swole St. Nick, right? That's what we've got here for.
He's Kris Kringle in the flesh.
Yeah, and he works out. he works out and shoots guns and smokes cigars.
Yeah, he's got some good forearms, you know?
Yeah. He's an American hero.
I mean, that was kind of the fun we were having with that title, Fat Man, is that, I mean, look, the whole movie is kind of like what you've perceived Santa to be and what he really is in the universe that we've created. And that was one of the things as well, is, you know, he's got that, like, Santa has that derogatory moniker of Fat Man, which we thought was great because, you know, we were going to play with that as well. And even though Mel's not, you know, a heavy guy, he put on a little paunch for us, but it was just perfectly enough. You know, he's not like ripped right out of the gym, which is what we were hoping he wouldn't be.
Yeah. But it's awesome. And so you two are brothers. How did you guys get into show business? Because I was looking at it. Ian, you went to school on a wrestling scholarship, is what I saw.
Yeah.
And so you went from wrestling to directing. You guys have had a couple movies that have actually won awards, and Fat Man just won an award.
A lot of people don't know, but wrestling is actually an excellent entry into the – no, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have guessed you go from wrestling to
– I would say wrestling is an excellent entry into life.
Yeah. Thank
you. Yes.
Yeah. So how did you get in? You go from wrestling and an English degree, and how do you guys get into to movie making?
So Esham went to college on an art scholarship, full ride on to Kansas City Art Institute for painting and charcoal and illustration and drawing, and I mean, he was just really talented. I went to Cal State Bakersfield on a wrestling scholarship, and. Yeah, man, we were in different states at the time, and I remember we grew up watching a lot of movies.
Yeah.
And our parents were professional photographers, so it was kind of in our blood and in our veins. But, you know, it was not a career where we lived. We lived in the Central Valley, which is more agriculture and dairy farms and blue-collar, you know, very blue-collar lifestyle there. A lot of hardworking people. So it was like, okay – I'm going to go be a teacher. I'm going to go be a wrestling coach. Or I'm going to go be, you know, I guess Ash was sort of the most outside of the box with, I'm going to be an artist.
Yeah.
But he was also working on his professional paintball career at the time.
Hey.
Which was hard to give up.
Yeah. Some dreams never die, pal.
That one never came to fruition. But, you know, I still have a passion for the game.
Hey. He still plays. He still got teams he plays on.
We have a lot of paintball down here in Alabama. So if you're ever in Alabama looking for, you know, we got the mansion here. So if you ever need like, you know, a cigar mansion to shoot at, you just holler. We're here. We got all the cigars. You know, we got you guys. So you guys, your brothers, you work together. How cool is it to be making movies with your brother?
It's pretty great. Yeah, I mean, I think over the years, Ian and I have become more and more dysfunctionally codependent in this process. But we're blessed in that we get along, and I think we have a true admiration for the other one's opinion. So,
I was going to say, which helps, because we're not ready to throttle each other every 5 seconds. If somebody says something, we're like, okay, let me consider that. And then usually it's like when we're writing or something, we bat the idea back and forth and we develop it to a certain point. One of us runs off and writes it. And then, you know, we don't stop until both of us really like what we have down. And that, I mean, that's kind of how the process works all the way through shooting and editing as well.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, Ian's a serious man on the wrestling mat. So now it's all about diplomacy. We don't have any sort of physical altercations at all. Let's talk it out.
Good. So you would think if you guys got into a disagreement about, like, say, the way a scene should go, he wins because he would beat you wrestling? Agreements on ideas?
The most passionate one usually
wins. It never goes to fisticuffs, thank goodness. But it does go down to that. We either both like it, or if we're in a disagreement, if we're a standoff, which rarely happens, maybe 1% of the time on something, we will go to, okay, this person really sees it and has a vision for it and is passionate about it. And then you say, okay, well, hey, you've got it. Like, great, let's do that. You know, and usually it's like a line or a moment or a shot, an angle or something like that. And it's like, okay, well, if you believe in it, and I'll be damned if, like, every time we're screening it, somebody doesn't come up and say, man, that one line or that one shot or that whatever, like, it's always that one, that person, whatever it was that person was really passionate about, usually sticks out in a very positive way. I don't think we've had one go the opposite way yet, but usually it pokes out in a positive way, and people comment on it about how much it improved something or was great or that they really loved that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And now, Ray, you're at a mansion.
Yeah.
And obviously this is like, You have a cigar empire.
Yeah, this is we're the cigar mansion in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. We converted a 1903 house into an actual cigar shop. So we have a full bar, beer, wine, liquor, and we sell cigars. We sell alcohol. I watch movies. You know, I watched Fat Man for the first time at the mansion.
Oh, badass.
Yeah, and I mean, it was our Thanksgiving thing. That's what we did on Thanksgiving, because it came out. I had been stoked about this movie since I saw a preview for it, I think, over the summer. And I was like, Mel Gibson as a he's got cigars, he's got guns. Like, this is the Santa that I didn't grow up with, but I wish I had grown up with, you know. And so I've been stoked about this movie forever. And then I saw it came out and I said, Dad, so R&R's for Randy and Reagan. So that was why I was getting in the family thing, because this is R&R's me and my dad.
Oh, cool.
And so we don't settle things with wrestling like you guys do. Because we call him Boom Boom. So he's a little older, but me and my wife and my dad and one of my employees, we watched it on Thanksgiving Day. And it was awesome. It was such an awesome, just a wild movie from start to finish.
Yeah.
And I think that you guys did a hell of a job on it.
Oh, thank you, brother. Yeah. No, wait, do you guys make your own branded cigars?
Yeah, we do. Actually, yeah, we have two currently. The plan is for us to have about four more. We have it go all the way from like mild all the way to full body.
Wow.
But yeah, that's the goal, long term. But then we just opened up a new shop about 3 weeks ago across town. So now we have the Cigar Mansion and we have the Annex, and really excited about both of them.
Man, and it's such a deep dive into cigars. Like, there's so much nuance and stuff in them, and it's like almost feels like endless. I know Mel, you know, has a big affection for cigars, although right now I know he's abstaining, but he really does have a deep-seated love for cigars.
Yeah. It's a great thing. It was a thing for me and my dad when I was going through, he's like, how you go from a wrestling scholarship to being a director of the best Christmas movie I've ever seen. And, you know, I like when I was in law school, I went from law school to opening a cigar bar. So you know, people ask me, go figure. I can understand, you know, you go for an English degree and you end up making a movie. I didn't do it. I've never done a movie like you guys. But, you know, it's but cigars were what brought me and my dad closer together whenever I'd see him, because they would come up and visit me when I was in school. And it was really great for us because we would get to spend, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours, where it was just us. And we, this was before the smartphones. And so we would just literally sit there and we would talk, you know. Yeah. So me and my dad, we would sit there and talk. My mom would be there, you know, sometimes. And then it became a thing where, like, people would want to come and hang out with me and my dad and smoke cigars with us, because, you know, when you're 19 years old, 20 years old, and somebody said, "Oh, yeah, we got some free cigars for you." People are like, "Oh, hell yeah, I smoke cigars."
Yeah. So next thing you know, they're getting they're feeling a little green, though.
Yeah, they're, not, enjoying it. But yeah, it's just such a it's such a cool thing, and I'm really blessed to be able to do what I do, and I'm really excited about it. But all right, so let's go back to you guys, though. So how did you guys come up with this version of Santa Claus? Because this is like the most crazy, awesome version of Santa Claus I've ever seen in my life. So how did you guys because it's, you got a lot going on there with Mel Gibson Santa Claus. How did you guys come up with this character?
Well, I think, look, it just came from Ian and I love things that we haven't seen before. So that's always what we're kind of heading for. Like, oh, have we seen this path? Well, let's try to take a right here and explore something new. And for us, there felt like there was room in the Christmas genre, right? So we'd seen the Tim Allen family-friendly version and enjoyed it, you know? And then we've seen the sociopath that comes down your chimney and hacks you up. And we were like, well, what's a Santa Claus that we could have plucked right out of the Central Valley, California agricultural farm community? That's where we grew up. And plopped him down in the middle of Alaska and given him some sort of like idiosyncrasies and foibles and made him like an everyman. And so that's what really excited us, was to take this sort of fantastical character and make him, you know, an everyman with problems that we could all relate to.
And like when we were attacking it, it was questions like, okay, he has this ability to read people's minds. Like, okay, what does that really look like? Like, he couldn't obviously have 3 billion people in his head all the time. He'd be schizophrenic. So it's like, okay, he would have to, like, if he looked at somebody, he'd be able to get like an instant download and then be like, oh, it's John and he's been good this year and now he's sleeping, so I'm going to deliver these presents to his house. Or he goes to his house and he has Billy in his mind and he's like, okay, this kid's been naughty, he gets coal. Or, you know, so he doesn't know what's happening with everybody all the time, but if he starts to think about you or he focuses on you, then he can get a download of you, which is pretty much how we thought of it. And then it was like, okay, well, what about the elves? Like, what do we do down there? Like, what would be a reality? And we just had to sort of build it one block at a time, one brick at a time, of like how that would really work, you know?
Yeah, I remember we were thinking about, well, where would he be, right? And since we are Americans and have an American perspective, we're like, well, I imagine that America could have made a pretty good pitch, you know? Like, hey, Chris, like, come on over. You can park in Alaska. We've got the post office. We've got all this infrastructure. Like, we're going to support you.
You can be out in the middle of nowhere, so, you know, yet close enough to a town to get groceries if you need them. You know, so we were putting all this stuff into our head of, like, how this would actually work. But we were like, you know, if he's going to be able to, like, make things, you know, out of the kindness of his heart, he's going to have to, in reality, have some money. He's going to have something flowing. And the way we were thinking of it is, like, you know, like Esh said, I think America can give you a pretty good pitch. You know, there's other countries, but we live in America, so we know that best. So it was like, okay. Well, I think America would probably give him a pitch and say, hey, like if you come, you know, and work in our country, we can fund you and you can be benevolent and you can just do your thing and hide over here. And of course, you know, we're going to give you a subsidy and you're going to get to build all this stuff and live and just do what you do. And we'll pay for that. And we'll obviously, they end up constructing an entire holiday, which is a $3 trillion worldwide, you know, giant, stimulus for the world, but and that's great. And then when he gets tits up, you know, a couple hundred years later, like, he's just screwed. So They have a bottom line. They got to meet their numbers, and he's in the middle of that. So they're pinching him at this point.
I love that aspect of Santa as basically a business owner. Because,
yeah.
You know, being a business owner, I loved it because it was like I mean, especially with the way that it was like, okay, like the movie was timed really well because it came out when, you know, a lot of business owners are feeling kind of like how Santa has been feeling in your movie, with it's like, okay, how are we going to make ends meet? How are we going to pay off, you know, Mrs. Claus, who was great, says this, you know, like this check that you got, you know, this isn't even going to cover the power bill.
Yeah. You know?
And I love that take on Santa because it was like he was going through, you always think of Santa as a, you know, as this, huge figure, and he doesn't have to really go through real world problems a lot. But Santa's actually having to go through real world problems, like how am I going to do Christmas this year? And I thought that was just such a cool take that you guys put him as a like business owner going through it, because that's kind of how it's been for a lot of people. Even us during the whole pandemic, and so you guys finished filming it like, and before COVID was even going on, right?
Well, two things. Like, I think that the reason that it attracts us to make Kris Kringle a business owner is that Ian and I come from working class parents. Like, our mom and dad owned a small business.
Yeah.
And so we drew upon a lot of what we saw with their problems, right?
You've got this dynamic between our parents. And it's like, they're struggling business owners. They've got an independent business. They're photographers. You know, they went through the same woes, you know, of struggling to pay the bills / keep everything going / the government, you know, tax laws aren't really in their favor right now. Okay, how do we, you know, like it was all the same problems. And so, I mean, and the relationship that our parents had was very similar to the Kris and Ruth relationship as well, as in that our dad was the, you know, it was his business. He started it. He was the lead photographer, but his bookkeeping and logistics were terrible. And my mom, when they married, she came in and just basically started handling all the logistics of the business and becoming a great photographer in her own right. But she really was the backbone of that business. And then only a few years after she left to become a nurse, you know, he ended up selling the business because he was just like, I'm really tired of running this. Like the logistics of this are just a nightmare, you know? And once my mom wasn't there handling all that, he was like, oh my God, I gotta do something else.
Yeah. Hmm. And then Reagan, what was the second half of that? I'm sorry.
And then COVID. So this was done. Oh. This was all done before pre-COVID and when you finished shooting before all that happened, right?
So COVID was happening as we were shooting. Yeah. So we went up to Canada in November. We prepped. We started shooting in January, and then we finished shooting in March, which is right when everything was, you know, coming apart. And so we finished in Canada. Our last day of shooting was the day before they shut every production down in Canada. So by the skin of our teeth, we got out of Canada with the entire movie shot. And then we went, it was crazy. Yeah. And then we went back to LA and edited the whole picture in Ian's basement.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we had it, you know, it was definitely a new mode of operation for us. We, you know, we do edit the pictures, but you know, Ian's basement's a perfectly acceptable place to do it. But there was some certain post production processes that were a little bit different as we tried to do the sound and the color and the music and all that stuff.
And the test screenings, because now we can't have 5 to 10 people over at a time. You have to send everybody a link and try to get feedback and then try to adjust that. Whereas before we would screen the movie a number of times and just be very dialed in on what we wanted to get out of that feedback. And whereas, like, you know, so you don't have that type of control over the singles that you send out. You're not, you know, we would put everyone in a room and stock food and drink. And, you know, if someone had to go to the bathroom, obviously they went, but it was kind of a mini theatrical experience. And then when you send people a link into their house, you know, they could very well be doing 25 things at the same time while they're watching it. And so you can't quite understand all the ramifications of their feedback, you know?
Yeah. That's, I mean, like, I can't imagine. I saw, I saw, I'm sure you guys probably saw it. I saw Tom Cruise's, you know, meltdown on the set about COVID. And,
I did listen to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine, you know, I mean, I know what we have to go through here, you know, but, I know everybody's been really affected by it. And I hope, I saw that you guys got, you're part of, you're going to be with the John Wick production company, making the movie Capture, I saw. And,
oh, well, that's a little old. And Capture ultimately was ended up being realized at Quibi, and they retitled it as the Fugitive remake. So that one we won't be working on.
Okay.
There were a couple of things that happened when we went off to go shoot Batman. Is that a couple of other projects went at the same time, and we sort of had to make a choice. It's like, okay, and that happens a ton. Like,
yeah,
you put a lot of work into these projects, and then you know one seems like it either you know stalls out for a second, and then something else picks up speed, like Batman, which is pretty much our baby because we wrote it and we wanted to direct it, and we wanted to take that one all the way. So when it popped up, you know, those other ones were cooling, and we said, hey, yes, we want to go do Batman. And of course, when you get into pre-production on something, when it rains, it pours, five other things that, you know, you had interested in started going as well at the same time. So you had to make a choice, and we're like, well, hey, we've got our 2 feet in on this one. We're going to take it the rest of the way. If you need to, you know, find another filmmaker or find another avenue, we totally understand. So, and it's just how it goes. You know, sadly, you can't do everything.
Yeah.
We're still a great relationship with that company. We still love those guys, and they love us. And I'm sure we'll figure out something with them down the line. They're a great company, great execs over there.
Maybe Walt Goggins' character actually comes from John Wick's universe.
There we go.
You guys get to do like Walt Goggins meets John Wick, and you know, Fat Man comes in somehow. Mel Gibson's Fat Man. I mean, like, I think that like that would be. I mean, John Wick's one of my dad's and mine favorite films. This is up there. I loved all your characters in the movie. You know, the Walt Goggins character was great, a total psycho, but which was just like amazing. I mean, he goes and the kid. You know, the kid. The kid. If I had to rate like least favorite kids in on the screen. You know, there's Joffrey, you know, he's number one. He'll always be number one for the most hated. And then probably Carl from The Walking Dead. And then, you know, the guy, the little kid in Fat Man.
Little Billy.
little Billy, man. Mad because he got some coal because he was a bad kid. And it's like, and he's like, oh, I can't understand why I got coal. I just tortured about science project. So I thought the character's awesome. And Mrs. Claus, we found out her name is actually Ruth. I was thinking through it. It was like, you know, I love the way that you did Mrs. Claus too. Because like, you know, especially with what's been going on in the world, you know, having Mrs. Claus be a person of color, I thought that was really cool. You know, and you guys were thinking about that before any of this other stuff was going on. And I thought you guys did a great job with that. I thought she was fantastic.
I mean, that was done for a couple of reasons. I mean, our last couple of films, starting with Waffle Street, we had a very, you know, a cool interracial dynamic in there with Danny Glover and James Lafferty. And we loved that so much that when we went and did Small Town Crime, like we pitched Octavia Spencer, like, hey, you know, what do you think of this dynamic of you being the sister? And you know, we didn't have John Hawks at the time, but it was definitely this pitch of like, hey, you know, this white guy goes into this sort of reverse blindside, goes into this black family and really fucks everything up.
He's kind of a screw up, yeah.
Wouldn't that be funny? And she's like, yeah, that is really funny. So we thought that was a really cool way to, you know, subvert people's expectations on that one. And then when we were putting this together, we were like, man, like we always had the idea to have, you know, a woman of color in the Mrs. Claus role for a couple of reasons. I mean, one, it's the world we want to live in where we're all, you know, sort of colorblind and like, you know, not worried about, you know, who we're casting and how we're casting and casting the right person.
Yeah.
And on the other side of that, like it was a great way to sort of subvert people's expectations again. I mean, you know, from a lot of the test screenings we did in the beginning with people, they would say, oh man, it was crazy because I'm watching it and, And, you know, I'm like, who is this woman to him? If he's Santa Claus, like, who is she? Is she like helping him out? And then, you know, or is, and then like a couple of scenes later, like, holy shit, if they didn't get it right off the bat, they were like, holy shit, that's that's Mrs. Claus. That fucking wow. Like, that's cool. This is really fucking cool. And I didn't get that right off the bat. It took me a scene or two, or people would get it right off the bat and be like, this is fucking awesome. Like, crazy. But yeah, we've had really great reactions to that. And I mean, Marianne was like, it was so hard to find somebody with her skill set. Like, we needed somebody that could be like the backbone of the operation, like a complete badass. And because of the ending, she comes out and, you know, does some without spoiling, she's kind of a badass at the end. So you're like, okay, we've got to have somebody that can pull that off and be believable. But we also need somebody that has that motherly warmth underneath so that the compassion that Mrs. Claus character carries with her.
And I personally loved Mrs. Claus because, like, I would hope every woman that's watching this, she got her husband what he really wanted for Christmas, which was a box of cigars. And that was awesome. You know?
From the mansion. She got him from the mansion. So.
Yeah, next time, hopefully she gets him from the mansion. What was he – okay, so can you tell us what cigars they were?
Were they Te Amos?
That sounds kind of familiar. It was literally Mel's favorite cigar is what we got. And I believe our props guy did some research and said, these are Mel's favorite. I actually called, or I actually looked around, or I looked it up or whatever. And he was like, these are his favorite. I got him his favorite cigars.
Yeah, we'd have to ask Tim. I can't recall what they were.
I can't recall what they were, though. We're not cigar guys, sadly.
Yeah,
but
no, that's okay. You don't have to be a cigar guy to appreciate them. And that's what
I personally like. Smoking the occasional cigar. It's not a daily habit for me, but I absolutely do indulge once in a while.
Give me your address. I'll send you a care package out, and we'll get you some Mansion
gentlemen. Cigar habit, man. I love it.
It's all good. I'm happy to do it. All right, just a couple more questions left. What was with the hamster? The hamster, that was wild. This guy's a total psychopath, right? And he's killing families in their sleep, and he's, you know, torturing third grade girls for winning a science contest. But he's got this damn hamster that he just carries with him everywhere. Up in the North Pole.
Yeah.
There's a couple things with that hamster. I mean, initially, like, it's the only thing that, so on the surface, or what you kind of get from some of the dialogue in there and who he is, it's like, that's the only thing he's ever had as a pet since he was a kid, and he had a pretty shitty childhood. So it's kind of, he has an emotional, you know, attachment to hamsters. It's the only, I think he tells the woman in the pet shop, it's the only thing I've ever had since I was a kid. You know, I had hamsters. And she keeps trying to tell him that he's a snake person. And he keeps trying to deny it. And then, you know, you lo and behold realize that one of the reasons he's getting so pissed off at this woman is because she somewhat reminds him of his mother.
Yeah. But also, she's not, she didn't listen and she didn't know when to shut the fuck up. That was great. Yeah. That was a great line there. That was a great line, by the way. Who wrote that line?
I can't remember. So
that's such a great line, man. I love that line. We all lost it when he said that.
I mean, it's that, you know, look, dude, 99% of that line is Walton's delivery, right? Like, he
crushes the line. That's his work.
But I think also, to Ian's point, like, that woman's not wrong. And for us, we always saw Skinny Man as kind of a snake, you know, like he is, if there's an animal exercise for actors, like, he is a snake. And so for us, the hamster is his food in a way. He's a predator, and he really enjoys having that little guy there because he knows at any moment he can just devour it.
Right.
And so the woman, you know, the woman's on point with her assessment of him, which is why he takes such deep seated offense.
And that's I love the movie. I thought it was amazing. I hope everybody watching this thing goes and watches Fat Man. You know, it's on all the streaming services, and you guys have some other films too, that award winners, The Life on Purpose, and then
Lost on Purpose.
And
I like Life on Purpose, though. I do like that title.
That's the sequel. We're coming out with that one next.
Yeah, I think it's good.
And do you guys have anything coming down the pipeline? you know, that you're really excited about for your next, because I can't wait for what's next with you guys. I hope there's a Fat Man sequel. I'd love to watch it. I know I'll watch it. You guys have what's coming down next for the Gnomes Brothers?
So I think first and foremost, we're absolutely kicking around ideas for the sequel of Fat Man. I don't know if it'll be what we do next. I think Ian and I would really enjoy bringing our voice and tone and perspective to some different genres. You know,
yeah, mainly we're not sure if that's going to come next because there's a lot of logistics to still work out about Fat Man 2 and people's schedules, and then we've got to write the script. And then the last thing we want to do is wait a year and a half to 2 years to make our next film. So it's going to be like, okay, like let's make some stuff, let's get the script going, and then and try to coordinate everybody's schedule to where it's a year and a half to 2 years out of us actually having it done. So that's what we'll be aiming for with Batman 2. Whereas in the interim, it's like, okay, we'd love to get one in the middle, you know?
Yeah, and I think if you look at Fat Man as like our Mad Max, like we're looking for Fat Man, whatever it might be titled to be Beyond our road Sanidome. Point. What was it?
Beyond Sanidome.
Yeah, Beyond Sanidome. Yes, exactly. Yeah. You're right on step, Reagan. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you guys, thank you all so much for coming on. I can't wait to see what you guys do next. Really enjoyed our conversations. Again, shoot me your address, and I'll send you out a little care package out with some smokes and some other R&R stuff. And thank you again very much. I hope you guys have a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays, all of that. And hope you're all stay safe. And you guys are in California. Good luck with all the lockdowns. And hopefully that comes to an end soon. And hopefully you guys get to go back to making movies.
Thank you, brother. And we are so gracious and thankful that you allowed us to come on and share this time with you on your show.
Yeah, man. It's great to meet you, Reagan.
Great to meet you. Thank you guys again. When you get another one, we'll get you back on and we'll talk about it. And I can't wait.
Perfect champion.
Sounds great.
Thanks, man.
All right. Talk to you soon, man.
All right. So we're going to go to Joe's house. We're going to go to Joe Gaither and Alphonse Taylor. We've got Alphonse Taylor starting right guard for the 15 national championship, right? And then we've got Joe Gaither first of Tide 100.9. We're going to talk Alabama football after. I mean, the Fat Man, I don't know if you all have seen Fat Man yet, but if you haven't seen it, you need to go watch it because it's amazing. It's a great movie. We just had the Gnomes Brothers on. So now we're going to change gears just like that. And we are going to go to Tide football. There's a big game this weekend. Are you guys excited about it?
Of course. I mean, it's the SEC championship. It's everything that you've kind of built up to. We didn't think – a lot of people didn't think they were going to make it all the way down to championship weekend with COVID-19. So how can you not be excited?
It's been a really exciting season so far. Nice to see a lot of guys have breakthrough seasons this year. I mean, Devontae Dorn, we knew he could do. Mac Jones stepping on the scene. Big name for himself. Like, come on now. My boy has to have the license for that cannon on oven arm. Like, come on now.
Yeah, he does. I hope he does. It is definitely a concealed weapon.
There has to be. Like, is that even allowed on campus? That it's gotta be against the law. It's like there's a law against that, right?
Well, he graduated, so he's not on campus anymore.
Hey, but he gets another year of eligibility, pal. He can come back next year.
So, that'll be a sad story for a lot of people, man.
It'd be what, two in a row? Yeah.
Oh.
Give it to him next year. So Shane played from 2012 till 16, right?
Right.
So you were there for the national championship and Derrick Henry's Heisman. If you weren't playing right guard, does Derrick Henry win that Heisman?
Honestly, probably does. I'm not even gonna lie. It's undoubtedly somebody would have stepped in and he still would have did what he did. That man was a freak of nature, man. Like, I don't think, like, it's one of those things now that I'm not playing ball anymore and I get to actually, like, sit back and see it from everybody else's perspective. Like, it dawns on me how legendary he was in 2015. Like, he was flipping grown men with stiff arms. And, like, that's unheard of. And the fact that he's still doing it in the NFL today is even more unheard of.
It's going off. I mean, the man had the most carries coming out of high school and college. And now he's just, I mean, he's just an absolute freak. You know, he's got, what, 4 200-yard games this year, I think? Just absolutely feasting on the NFL. It's crazy. So you played for 4 years at the Tide. What's it like playing for Nick Saban?
Oh, man, it could be the best thing in the world or the worst thing in the world. It all depends on how you approach it. He's most definitely a business mindset type person. And so if you show up to that complex and you bullshitting, that'll be the end of you. You won't make it. It'll be an early exit every time. Like, you got to come with a goal in mind and ready to work and just basically take whatever comes with it, man. So it's really, I know everybody thinks there's like this big secret to playing for Saban, but it's just like, you better have some big nuts and be able to take the shit. That's really all it is. He doesn't hold back at all.
Yeah.
I remember when I was there, like during our stretch lines, he walked through and fuck with everybody. And every now and then he walk up on me and be like, when that baby do? Yeah, it'd be like, when's the baby do? You know, I was one of the fat guys.
Yeah.
It's all good though.
Well, speaking of the fat guys, I how do you think this offensive line stacks up to the offensive line while you were there?
That's a tough one, man. That's a tough one because obviously I want to be biased because that was my line.
I mean, y'all were great.
Yeah, but I think the difference about this one is, see, our line, we had Ryan Kelly, Cam Robinson, 2 first-rounders. I think this whole offensive line could go first round. Like, they're really that good. And if you just sit back and watch each one of them, they be getting in people's ass, man. It's just like, they physical, they nasty. Landon Dickerson is one of the nastiest, dirtiest people I've ever seen on the field. Like, the things he does to people is ridiculous. So, they can most definitely – I mean, honestly speaking, they're probably better than we was because you can honestly put anybody behind them. And they probably get a touchdown. Just being honest. As an entire unit, they're most definitely better than we were in 2015.
I think you might be selling yourself short a little bit, but they are they're really good. They're special. You think that Mac Jones would be? You think that their dominance is really kind of the reason why Mac Jones is really able to show his arm talent and able to get find guys down the field?
Oh, for sure. But, I mean, a lot of people was on Mac Jones last year in the Auburn game. But if you really watch that game, you'll notice besides those two pick sixes, man's played a phenomenal game. I'm talking phenomenal. And so I think Mac can, even without that great of an offensive line, I think he'd still be able to make plays.
So that offensive line this year is insane. It's insane. I mean, like it's insane. But I would say that having a quarterback like Mac Jones has made it even better. Because I think I personally think Mac Jones is the greatest quarterback in the history of Alabama football. I'm on record saying it. I'm going to go out on a limb right now. Not much of a limb. I'm going to just stand here and say it because I don't feel like it's going out on that big of a limb that Mac Jones is the greatest quarterback that's ever played for Alabama.
Wow.
Well, you know, it's me. It's the hot take central. You know, I don't think it's that hot of a take. I think it's just a correct take. But Mac Jones, I take Mac Jones over Tua and Jalen. You know?
Oh, I'm with you on that one. I've been saying for a while now that Mac Jones is better than Tua. I just don't think people are ready for that conversation.
They're not. They're not.
Because if you look at him play.
You know, there's no video of Mac singing. You know, doing the little ukulele thing in Locke's office, you know.
Right.
they're not ready to have that conversation. I think we should have that conversation.
We should. Because, I mean, just simply based off decision-making, every big game we played with Tua at quarterback, he was guaranteed two interceptions a game. Guaranteed.
Wow.
Every big game.
Yeah.
And we were playing from behind afterwards. I've seen Mac make some questionable throws, but it was just more so it wasn't there. Not trying to put the ball where the ball can't be put.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's the honest truth.
And Mac only had one receiver too. You gotta remember Mac only had Smitty. Because Waddle's been gone. You know, Mac's been doing all this stuff with just one. You know, you think Tua had. I mean, this is insane, right? On the same field.
No, you're selling Mechie short a little bit right there.
Okay, no offense to Mechie, but Mechie is not the player that Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy
that's
and
fair.
Smith were. You know, I mean, like they're great, they're very talented guys, but you know, you add in Smith, Waddle, Jeudy, Ruggs, and Irv Smith, and that's shoot, I'm pretty sure I could throw a slant to those guys and let them take it to the house. You know, I'd like to try. You know, I think I could do it. I'd be scared for my life with, you know, back with some of those SEC linebackers coming at me, but I try it.
This offensive line would keep you safe, Reagan.
This one, yes, absolutely. This one, I can take a nap in the pocket sometimes.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I could smoke a whole cigar before they let anybody get to me, you know. This offensive line, it's amazing. So you played you had some good O line coaches. You had Stoutland, who went on to be for the Eagles, and then Mario Cristobal, who's at Oregon, and you know, and Kyle Flood coming in. You know, how much has that changed? Made the offensive line, because this offensive line looks as good as it ever looked. How much of an impact has Kyle Flood had on this offensive line, do you think?
I'm sure it's dynamic, man, because each coach brings out different stuff in you, man. And I actually had three coaches the 5 years I was there. You forgot Brent Key. I had Brent Key.
I love Brent, and I love Brent.
Yeah. You forgot Key. And it's just – every coach brings out something different in you, man. And like with Cristobal, I run through a brick wall.
Yeah.
And Stoutland and Key, they were more technical coaches. They could, I'm talking, they could break it down and coach their asses off. But Mario, with me, to me anyway, was a big motivational guy. Like, I'd punch somebody's face in if he asked me to. And with this line playing the way that they have this season, man, I'm sure it's something about Flood that's get them motivated, has them ready to go every game. The game plan, they can understand it. Anything you throw at them, blitzes, no matter what it is, they can pick it up. Line games, they're picking it up. And so I'm sure his preparation is through the roof. And you can tell with their play, man.
What do you think of Cristobal reportedly turning down Auburn and getting an extension and raise at Oregon?
I don't blame him. Nope. I don't blame him.
I don't want to come to the state and coach against Saban. Nope.
Hey, man. He found his place out there. You know, that's a good spot to be in. That's a good spot to be in.
Making money.
Man's probably getting more clothes yearly.
Yeah.
Like, he could probably walk around in a new Oregon fit every day for 3 years.
Yep.
That would be the big selling point to me about Oregon would be, like, just the Nike contract.
All the shoes.
Yeah, all the shoes, all of the Tiger Woods apparel. Like, I'm a big Tiger Woods. Like, I wish that they still made golf clubs. But, like, if I was getting Nike clubs and balls all the time, I mean, like, I could have – I mean, that would be worth $500,000 a year to me just on the clothes, shoes, and golf equipment.
Easily.
I think he's got it set up. So, all right. So you played with all these guys. You played for all these guys and had all these coaches. You had Mario Cristobal, Jeremy Pruitt, Napier, Kirby, name it. They were all there when you were there. Loxley was there. That's my guy. Love Lox. Out of all of them, and I would put Lox in the same conversation. So out of all of them, when Nick retires and he's going to retire, I'm sorry to the people listening. At some point, Nick's going to hang him up.
No.
There was a question today about whether Nick was going to retire. But so if you had your pick out of all of them, all the guys, former Bama assistant coaches, even Dabo, say Dabo would come.
No, Dabo's out of there. He's out of there.
Okay, he's out of there. Okay. But if you could pick any of them, Chris Wall, Pruitt, Napier, Kirby, Locke, who do you want to come and be after Nick?
Man, I'll take Lane.
Lane.
I'll take Lane. Just because Bama needs, they need something fresh, man. Like, they've been riding a traditional train for a long time. But I don't know. I think Lane could come in and win. Getting the same recruits that we've been getting, he can most definitely make it happen.
So, Lane. I would go Lox. Lox would be my guy. I want to see what he does up in Maryland, but Lox would be my guy. I think Lox would do the same thing that Lane does it and be less of a headache than Lane. Yeah.
But the headaches is what makes it all worth it, man. It's just like, what the hell are you doing, Lane? And boom, 60-yard touchdown, flipping his damn clipboard in the ass.
Yeah. Hey. What the hell are you doing, Lane? That's just don't worry about it. Jesus Christ. She told me she was 21.
Oh. Oh man. I'm gonna avoid that one.
Joey Freshwater, bring him back. That's what you're saying. Bring back Joey Freshwater.
Hey Joey, if you see this, I had nothing to do with that one.
Hey, it's okay. It's here for. All right, so we got a big one this weekend. Okay, we got a big one. Alabama versus Florida. Probably one of the stupidest plays that I have ever seen last Saturday. How big of an ass chewing would you have gotten if you had chucked somebody's shoe on and gave them a fresh set of downs after they were about to punt? Like, would you be alive today if that happened?
I don't know. You probably would have seen the next day, like, Alphonse Taylor has entered the transfer portal or some shit.
Yeah.
Like,
he might have entered the recently deceased portal.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, I told my friends, I said, if I was his coach, I would have run him till he died. I mean, that was absurd.
Well, my fat ass, that wouldn't have been a lot of running, so.
How bad would it be? Like, if that happened, y'all, how bad would that be?
I don't know, man. I feel like, man, that's like, that literally cost them a football game.
Yeah, and possibly a playoff appearance.
It really did. So, that's most definitely like, yeah, you can't even travel anymore. You're on suspension. Type shit, like I don't see that going up well with anybody. Oh no, Crystal Ball might have throat chopped him or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was in the next play, and that's the thing that was wild. He was in the very next play, and then he said, "Oh, well, I don't think you had meant anything by it." I mean, it's like so. Anyway, so that's who we're playing this weekend. What are you thinking about the game on Saturday?
Oh man. I think we're going to go in and handle business. Florida, you can't – people can say what they want about our defense, but you're not going to attack us with one thing. You're not just going to add the ball out and think you're going to get anywhere with it. And on offense, we're bringing a balanced attack. Pick your poison, who you want to whoop your ass any given play. All we got to stop – if Florida happens to make it to the red zone, we just got to stop trash from throwing it to Pitts. That's his go-to guy, obviously. And I say we win by three tutties.
Solid.
Three tutties.
Yeah. How many Florida scores?
I give them 14.
14, okay.
I give them 14.
So like 35 to 14.
I like that one.
Alabama's only scoring 35 points.
Nah, I'm just trying to respect the game, honestly.
No, there's no, you don't have to respect the game. No, no, no. No, I mean, like, I think Alabama can score 69.
Man, easily against that defense. Oh, man. It would be a 50-point plus if Saban allows it. You know he likes to go soft second half, fourth quarter.
I hate that. I just want him to run him out of the building.
I really wanted him to score 70-plus on LSU.
Yeah, same. I wanted him to score
that. I wanted that. Yeah. I think everybody wanted that, especially after what they did last year.
All the videos. Yeah. They could have
wheeled their grandmas out on the field, and I would have wanted the same result. I don't care.
Yeah. I wanted a big number.
Oh, so for sure.
What are you thinking about tomorrow or Saturday?
Saturday, I mean, I think we're gonna win pretty easily. I think it's going to be about 52-17. I think that first drive, Florida's going to probably – they'll probably drive down and score. And you're going to hear everybody on Twitter complaining about the defense and, oh, you know, it's going to be a long day.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they'll get over to the sidelines and adjust, and they'll lock Florida down the rest of the game probably. Yeah. I don't think that
– first drive overreaction on Twitter is
– every time.
Every single time. Right, especially, like, I remember the Ole Miss game. What was it? In 18, they threw the big bomb the first play, and everybody was like, "Oh, here we go again. We're gonna get run out of the building. These coaches didn't do anything all week long." That was the only. We beat them 62-7.
Yeah.
They gave up. What was it? Metcalf got a huge. Was it Metcalf? I think, I don't know.
Yeah, it was Metcalf.
Yeah, I mean, okay, the guy's doing it on Sundays. Are you that mad? You know, that overreaction, you nailed it. The overreaction on Twitter.
Every time the first drive, people lose their mind. We should fire Pete Golding right now.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, it's a 60-minute game here. But I think that they're going to lock it down. I think they're going to take care of business. They're going to eliminate Florida and – I mean, we just got to come out healthy. That's my biggest thing is hopefully we come out healthy.
Yeah.
Come out healthy. And I think we're going to see Mac to Devontae Smith a bunch of times, honestly.
I saw a post from Florida Gator, Tease Tabor, who's been a healthy scratch, I think, his whole NFL career. He made an Instagram post. He said, "There's nobody I'd rather be locking down Devontae Smith," and I was sitting there saying, "Boy, there's nobody I'd rather be covering Devontae Smith than Marco Wilson, too." Because I don't know if you guys watched the Bucs game when they played the Chiefs. Tyreek Hill went for like 300 yards on Carlton Davis in a half. Carlton Davis, you know, from Auburn. And I got to tell you, if Marco Wilson throws on Smitty, I hope Sark just says, "Hey, Mac, if you see Marco Wilson covering Smitty, just tell Smitty to run a go route and just chuck it, and it'll be there every single time because there's no way that guy can cover."
They've been putting out a lot of bulletin board material this week. Did you see Dan Mullen earlier today?
Yeah.
They asked him at the SEC press conference, "Oh, do you think a two-loss team should go to the playoff?" And he said, "Oh, we're going to worry about that after we win on Saturday." It's like, dude, you need to just – calm it down, dude, because you're digging your own grave there.
Hey, man, if your coach don't believe in you, then who will?
I know, but you're not going to say that like that. Saban would never say that. We'll worry about that after we win on Saturday.
Hey, y'all have to watch Saban, though. Saban say a little shady shit in a subtle way, dog.
Yes.
It'd be the most subtle way, but it'd be shady as hell.
He's a big troll.
Oh, for sure. He's
a big troll. Yeah, he's a very, very big troll. And I love it. I'm here for it because I enjoy it. I love trolling. It's like this week I was on the big troll.
Everybody
got so mad at me over this wing steak, right? Like, these wing steak because I like Buffalo Wild Wings.
I love Buffalo Wild Wings.
I'm telling you, they're great. They're great, right? There's a reason Buffalo Wild Wings is in every city in America, and there's a reason that your favorite wing joint in Tuscaloosa is only in Tuscaloosa. I'm sorry, that's the facts. That's the fact.
It's most definitely one of those deals everybody loves to hate. You know, it's just like, why? Is this the cool thing to do right now? Just like Arby's, man. What's everybody beef with Arby's?
It's actually the beef. The beef is my beef with Arby's. You know, honestly, what ruined Arby's for me was Hope Sutton. That was what ruined Arby's for me.
Was she a spot? Was she partnered with them?
You could say that. You could say that.
Okay.
There were some things. Shank knows.
All right, Roll Tide.
It was the meat curtains.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It looked very tough. It looked very tough. Not surprising at all, let me tell you. If you know, don't Google Hope Solo Arby's, which you'll find. I wouldn't recommend that. Especially if you haven't eaten yet, don't eat and then look at it. You might throw up. So don't do it. It's like when you know, remember like you're growing up and people will be like, "Oh my god, have you seen these blue waffles?" You know, you remember the blue waffle? Yeah, you remember.
You gotta stop it. That's one of those things that was buried so deep in my mind that I never had to think of. Now, for the next 2 weeks, it's just going to occasionally cross my mind.
We don't like that.
That's tough.
So, all right. So, Hugh Freeze today says he's very happy at Liberty. So, all the stuff that you guys have been giving me, Joe, on the pregame show, Hugh Freeze, it looks like Auburn, he's out. I don't think he's going to Auburn.
Do you think he's going to Tennessee, though?
He's going to Tennessee. Tennessee's got a head coach.
For now.
They got a head coach. What, are they going to fire Pruitt for Butch Jones's mess?
I mean, we're kind of past Butch Jones's mess at this point.
Are we?
Yeah. When you ride with Garantano for 3 years in a row.
I was going to say that.
If you can't bring in another talented quarterback to replace him, then you get what you deserve at that point.
But are they a quarterback away?
I mean, a quarterback would help. You give them Bryce Young. If Talia had transferred there last year, I think that probably would have helped him.
I don't think so. I mean, I like Talia. He's been doing great for Locks up in Maryland, but I don't think he was the answer. And I'm not sure that Bryce Love is the answer. Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of people all summer long, Bryce Love. And, you know.
Bryce Love? Who's that?
Bryce Love, yeah, exactly. He comes in to protect the under. That's what he comes in for.
I'm pretty sure Bryce Love plays running back for the Redskins.
I'm pretty sure you're wrong.
You're right, for the football team.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like when Bryce Love comes into the Bama football games, okay, he comes in, and it's like, okay, well, we must be within the under. Nick Saban's got money on the – he took the under again this week. You know, that's what it is. Like, I'm sorry, but that's what it is. He comes in and he hands it off to, you know, third, fourth string running backs, and maybe he completes a pass. Maybe he throws it in the dirt. I don't know. We'll find out on Saturday, hopefully.
I think he's going to get some playing time against Florida. But, come on, he's a freshman. You got to let him – he's coming in mop-up duty. The game's over. What's the motivation level of everybody? What's the motivation level on defense? What's the motivation? I mean.
Make their asses.
No, man. When I used to come in and mop-up duty, I used to try to knock some people's shit off.
Well, speaking from experience, there you go.
I mean, because, bro, it's just like.
That's
you
your
gotta put it. You got to put it on film.
Yeah.
You got to put it on film. Right. And. You'll be surprised how many people I practice with practice horrible. But come game day, bro, it's like they had a fucking light switch. No missed assignments. Knock a head off. All types of shit, man. So when you get that mop-up duty time, man, you got to put the work on film, dog. You got to let them see it.
So Boom Boom just texted me. Boom Boom's my dad.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call him? Boom Boom. He says, "Are you doing love on purpose?" Yes, yes, I'm doing love on purpose. When he makes me respect him enough and hits the over, you know, then we'll start calling him Bryce Young.
But he hit the over. What was that? The Kentucky game? Because you can't.
Kentucky. Come on. Who cares? Who cares? Kentucky didn't even want to play. They were hoping that game got canceled so Alabama could play LSU. I mean, those guys. Look. I love the Stoops. Right. Great coach. I love them. I like Kentucky as much as most Alabama fans like Kentucky basketball. I guess. You know. But they didn't want to be there. They were ready to go. They didn't want to play that game. They were like, okay, we're here because we got to collect a check. And I think, you know, so yeah, put him in there. Yeah, of course he did. Let him do it against a real team. Let him do it against Florida in the SEC championship game. Hit the over. I'll start calling him Bryce Young. I don't think that's unfair. Is it being unfair? I don't think so. I don't think so.
I just say the kid's young. The kid's young. He's going to grow into the position.
So would you rather have coming back next year, right? So everybody gets a free year of eligibility this year, right? Mm-hmm. So they get an extra, I guess, 6 year. Too bad for the guy at Clemson. He could have been there for another 8 years.
Renfro?
So yeah, he could have. Yeah, he'd been here this year. He could have been there for another year. So would you rather have Mac Jones come back, or would you rather roll the bet? Would you rather have Bryce Lung? How about that, Bryce Lung?
I like that. Mac Jones, easy.
Which one? Which one is it easy? Mac Jones.
Mac, easy.
Yeah.
Easily, for sure.
I mean, you already know what you have in him. You already see the production, and the production's like phenomenal. So you're gonna give me that production again next year? Oh, sign me up.
Too bad we all dreamers right now. That man's out of here. Long gone.
I don't know. And that's what I don't get. I don't get what these NFL evaluators are seeing in with Mac saying, oh, he's not a first-round guy. I mean, I'm old enough to remember Christian Ponder being a first-round pick, and I love Christian Ponder. The guy was brilliant and had a hell of a hot life. I mean, let's be real. Sam Ponder, she's hot. A Liberty alum, by the way. A Liberty alum. We're really proud of her. But, I mean, if Christian Ponder's the first round, Daniel Jones and Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah,
Daniel Jones, man. Come on. Mac Jones isn't a first round quarterback?
Right. If Cardale Jones can get drafted off 3 games, I think Mac Jones put an entire SEC season together the way he has is an easy first rounder. Easy.
How many first-round picks do you think this team has right now?
Surtain, Bobby Harris, Leatherwood, Mac Jones, Barmore, Dickerson is 6.
Evan Neal will be one day.
Yeah.
Neal will be a first-rounder one day.
Waddle. I mean, we doing just this year or total?
I mean, is this the most talented team you think ever?
Offensively, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Clearly, that 2012 defense. I don't like. Will he ever have another one? Or the 2009 or 12? Could go either way.
No, bro. You had Dante Hightower, like 260 running a 4.6 at linebacker.
Yeah.
I'll never see that again, ever. It was
smoking Newports at halftime.
I love it.
And then going out and getting quarterbacks right after. Ripping sticks in the locker room and then abusing quarterbacks.
I think I missed Ruben on kickoff more than anything.
Did you see the linebacker they got out of Texas who's like jacked. Blackshire, Kenny Blackshire.
Oh, you mean the grown man?
Yeah,
people on the birth certificate? Yeah, I see him.
He looks 30.
Yeah, people
are saying at least 40.
Yeah, he looks old. He looks real old. But hey, you know what? I'll take him.
For sure.
He was 30. Won a Heisman.
For sure.
Hey. Noted fan of the mansion, Chris Winkie. So, all right, Shane, all right, you've got you got all this stuff at Alabama. You had all these experiences. Like, what's your favorite? What's your favorite like memory playing? You know, that you have, is it winning in Natty? Is it smoking cigars in the locker room after beating Tennessee? Because that would be my favorite. But you know, like, is it like what's like when you're like 50 and you got all the grandbabies and you're like, hey, come around, you know, listen to Boom Boom talk about Alabama football. You know, what's the like one story you're gonna tell that you like that's your favorite?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't know. Actually, it'll probably be Iron Bowl 2015. And that's just like a more personal story. It's like my grandma died the week of that game.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And so like still play. It sucked. Oh, my God. It sucked. That's probably the worst week of my life.
Yeah.
And that was actually probably the best game I ever played in college.
Really?
It was the Iron Bowl 2015. Yeah. That's the highest graded game I've ever played in. And 2 and 3 be most definitely Tennessee smoking cigars because, you know, got the puff 5 big ones in a row.
Yep, from the mansion.
From the mansion, of course. And I still most definitely get those packs in each year. And we look forward to them, actually. I actually waited this year because, all right, so I have an adopted family, right?
Yeah.
And they just moved to South Carolina. And so he wasn't here for the Tennessee game. So we went up there for Thanksgiving and we actually smoked our cigars then.
Nice.
And so it's kind of become a tradition. I always smoke my cigar with him after we beat Tennessee.
Nice.
So that's dope. So that's a cool second. And most definitely third is the Natty.
Yeah.
Because that was most definitely a tough fought game. And people forget like half that defensive line went first round. They were legit.
It was a good one. And they were a really good defensive line that year too. That was one. That game was won in the trenches.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Oh, also, probably due to the fact that they just decided not to cover O.J. Howard that game for some reason. I don't know. But.
Yeah. It was wild. They just left it out there.
You're just like, I don't care, throw it to him.
Yeah.
OJ had like 340 plus yard catches that game. It's ridiculous. But most definitely Iron Bowl, beating Tennessee, 2015, Natty.
Nice.
And of course I'll have all the rings to show. So that'll be dope.
Yeah. How many do you have? You have two hands?
In total, I got 9.
Okay. So you got.
Because I got Natty 2012, SEC Championship 13. Well, I got 4 SEC Championships, 2 Natties, and we got a few from the playoff wins. They give us like 2 rings apiece for the playoff win if you win the whole thing. So I'm thinking about 9 rings in all.
So you got them for every ring, everything, every hand, and then you got your wedding ring. So you got every ring's covered.
Yeah, we're good. Honestly, I don't even know what half those rings at right now. I gave them out to family as gifts, just like you've been dope as hell all my life. Thanks for not abandoning me here. Like I didn't make it to the NFL or make it rich, but here, take this.
That's
cool. Work.
That's really cool. So, Joe, you're doing the pregame. Are you at Pearl River this week?
Yeah, we'll be down at Pearl River again this week. You coming down, Reagan?
I don't know.
All right.
I'm like, there's some stuff with the wife.
I got
her family. They want to do Christmas. And, you know, so.
Got to make the wife happy.
Like, Pearl River, gambling.
Nah, make
show, in-laws.
Make the wife happy. Just gotta make the wife happy.
Yeah, they say happy wife, happy life. I'm not sure.
Well, here's my thing on that. I mean, if you plan on being forever, right?
Yeah.
What's a little adversity? What's a little adversity? Let's stir the pot here. let's stir the pot here. What's a little adversity if we're in this thing forever, right?
He's giving me a death glare right now. We're actually in the middle of that adversity right now. But I don't understand, let's be real. Which would you rather do? Would you rather go to the ultimate gaming resort in the Southeast, Pearl River, or would you rather go to your in-laws? You know, there's golf, there's a spa, there's casinos, there's really good restaurants, you know, there's really nice hotel rooms, and, you know, then it's the in-laws.
I mean, there's a really obvious answer there, but yeah. I'm going to cut the shit. Right. I'm gonna cut this shit because honestly, if my wife tells me to go somewhere, I'm gonna be there, and that's the end of the discussion. Yeah. So, I'm just talking. That's all. Yep.
But we will be at Pearl River this week. Our show's at 2 o'clock. Reagan, what time you want to join us?
Liberty doesn't play this weekend, so there's no problem. I can join you whenever you would like.
Sounds good.
Same show. It's you and Jay Barker and Kerry Clark, right?
Sometimes Kerry will join us, and sometimes Jacob Harrison will join us. Kind of just depends on whose bodies are around.
So at Tide 100.9, you guys have like 4 J's, right? You got like all the J's. All of you guys are like J names. I've noticed this. Except for the one guy that has an L name.
Shout out Fluff.
Rhymes with SARS.
Shout out Fluff.
Yeah, shout out Fluff, yeah. Yeah, the SARS guy. I mean, Lars, excuse me. Lars, not SARS. Sorry, COVID got me.
Yeah, we got a lot of J names. Yes, yeah. A lot of J names. Except
the L guy.
Yeah, you gotta give it up for Ryan in the afternoon, though, also.
Yeah, Fowler. Fowler's great. Yeah, so you guys were asking me on the show Saturday, pick my favorite Tide 100.9 guy.
Oh, who was that? That was Jacob.
Everybody wanted me to rank them, right? So you like ranking them. That's tough. You guys are all great. Tide 100.9. It's such a great. If you're an Alabama fan and you're wanting to listen to pregame, do yourself a favor. Tune in 5 hours before the game to Joe's show here. The Tide Tailgate.
There you go.
Tide Tailgate show. You'll catch me, your favorite bar owner, on there, and former Alabama quarterback Jay Barker, and then some other cool guests. And they're at Pearl River this weekend. I want to go to Pearl River this weekend, but it might.
Well, we're going to do the national championship there also.
Oh, man.
Because Alabama's going to make it. We'll do the national championship game there as well. Download that Tide 109 app. You can listen to us anywhere. If you're at the in-laws' house and away from your radio, you can listen to us there on that Tide 109 app. It's free. And then the best thing, you can listen to Eli Gold. Well, last week, Chris Stewart, but listen to Eli Gold call all the football games as well on that app.
Okay, I got just a couple more questions for you guys. This one is really important. I take this one very seriously. This is probably the biggest question you will ever get asked. Okay, and it's just such an important one because it just means so much to me and so many of our people watching this show. When you poop and you're finished, do you sit or do you stand?
Sit.
You sit. You're a sitter. Okay. Shane?
Same.
Sitters. Okay. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Sitters are our quitters.
What about you? Or?
Oh, no, this is my show, so I don't have to answer that.
All right.
I am the captain now. I am the captain now. Yeah. On your show, you can ask me, and I'll answer. So maybe on Tide 100.9, that's what we talk about. I don't know.
There have been worse topics.
Yeah.
Bo Nix parenting?
Can't relate. Yeah, I love my child.
Yeah. Shank, you're a good father. Bo Nix, not a great father. You know, not everybody's created equal here. As far as dads go, you know? Dad said, because I can't believe you went there. What? You're shocked that I asked them if they sat or if they stood. Have you not watched the show? I know he's watched the show before. It's become a hot topic of debate at the mansion, actually, where whether people sit or whether they stand. And it's actually about 50-50. You might be surprised that probably half the people that you run into actually stand when they play, or might be surprised that half of the people you run into sit. So it's kind of a tradition you're on the show. We want to know where we stand.
Or where we sit.
Yeah, where we sit. Yeah. Could
I mean, I don't really care. As long as y'all ain't out here bare ass in public toilet seats.
Yeah. And it's not like doing corn pops like they did, you know, back way back, you know, out in outhouses and stuff. Like, we have nice Charmin toilet paper that gets it clean. That's what's important, right?
I use dude wipes. I ain't gonna hold you.
So do we have so the game tomorrow? The game Saturday, we got a big game. But who do you want to play in the playoffs? You got a team that you'd rather play in the playoff?
BYU.
Well, okay, that's not gonna happen. They can't drink. Okay, look, BYU, Mormons, really nice people. They can't have sweet tea, and they can't have the playoff. So so I'll give you a list out of Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Texas A&M. Who do you want to play?
A&M, easy.
Okay.
Ohio State.
Ohio State, who you want to play?
I want to play Ohio State, and then I want to play Clemson in the final.
Okay.
I'm going A&M, Ohio State. Because, I mean, A&M matchup purposes, I highly doubt we'll have problems with Kellen Mond. So there's that.
The cat said I'm going to be on the cat says I'm going to be on the show. Yeah. I love cats, man. Cats are like that. That's awesome.
Nice.
Go ahead. You're saying A&M and then.
Ohio State for sure. Just because I'm still a little salty about New Orleans hell. So
okay, I got a hot take for you. All right, here you go. Alabama wins the 2014 national championship if Jake Coker is the starter.
Well, who stops Ezekiel Elliott?
It doesn't matter because, I mean, Alabama needed to score points that game, not keep it close.
And Alabama wins if we feed Derrick Henry the ball more.
Okay. Well, there's that, too. Okay. I can see that. Yeah.
And people forget he was still rocking that 27 then. He was in that 2-7.
I have the 27 jersey. I don't forget.
Nice.
Yeah. But, I have that. It's a good jersey.
We feed him the ball more that game. Easily win. Easily.
Easily. Not just kind of win, but easily.
Easily.
I still say.
Every time he touched the ball, it was a 6 to 15 yard pop. Every time.
Okay. All right. Any other hot takes you
want to
get off your chest?
Ooh, let's see. I can't think right now. If they come back to me, I'll just request to be on the show again and write them down and get them all off.
We'll get you back on it, and we'll just have a segment dedicated to hot takes.
Nice.
Like, here's one. Christmas food is better than Thanksgiving food.
They're the same thing.
Yeah, that's the...
See, I don't have turkey on Christmas. That's my big thing. We do like a rib roast on Christmas.
Okay. Oh, word? Yeah. If we change it up on Christmas, though, it'll be gumbo. But gumbo is most definitely elite compared to Thanksgiving food. So,
well, y'all are from like where they make gumbo real good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't get that up in Tuscaloosa. Because our restaurant scene in Tuscaloosa is kind of lacking. We have chains.
I was like, I need to come. We need to open a spot.
There's a building right next door to me. I think it would make an amazing restaurant. Personally, I think it would make an amazing restaurant. Right. I don't have that kind of time to do a restaurant, but I think it would be really cool because it's like, you know, it's an old house. It's actually older than the mansion. But it's huge. And I think it'd be great for like a steak place. Like, cause we don't have, you know, like you think about it, we don't have a steak place. I'm sorry, R. Davidson Chop House, you're not a steakhouse. Like, your steaks are
Chunks. Well, we got a Tux in Mobile, and that steaks are really good. So,
well, the one here is not. The one here is not. I'm, like, it's every like when you ever ask anybody, hey, what do you like at Chuck's? The sushi. They like the sushi. That's it.
You know what's crazy? For the longest time, I didn't even know a Tux's actual menu had on it because I used to only go on like official visit dinners.
Yeah.
And it was completely different from anything that would be on the regular menu. And so I went one evening, and I'm like, y'all not have y'all not have rib roast on here? It's like, what is that?
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
They literally just served it here.
I worked at Chuck's for like 7 years, so.
Oh, sorry.
No, I mean, it's fine. Everybody's got their own opinions, but you're right. Everything that they put on that buffet – For those football recruitment dinners, we don't really do anything with it on the menu.
Yeah, I see that. And I was pissed because I went back, and when I was actually at Bama, went for a nice dinner, and it was like, we don't have any of that. It's like, well, what do I do now? It's like,
yeah, the sushi. All right, so. Big game. Final thoughts about Alabama and Alabama's football season, you know, basically 2020 football season as a whole?
No surprises offensively. We knew we were going to be really good there. Shout out Pete Golden. He's had a hell of a shake back year, hell of a bounce back year. He got his guys back. Having Dylan Moses back has been a big help.
Yeah,
but you know what's crazy though? This defense is going to be good for a while now because a lot of young guys have been getting reps since last year, and it's all just stacking up at this point. And so we'll be good. We'll be good. Next year is going to be interesting offensively though. No Mac Jones, no Najee Harris. I mean, we know Robinson can go on there and do it, but as the lead guy, I guess we'll see.
Trey Sanders. Guys, forgetting about Trey Sanders.
It's going to be interesting to see how he recovers from his accident.
Oh, yeah. The guy healthy, I'll give you that.
I hope a full recovery for him. And if he has a full recovery, then he's got the talent to do it. But I have no insight to how his recovery is going.
Well, yeah. Good news is they have the best doctors in the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Thanks.
So.
Shout out Dr. Andrews. I got rods in both my legs. My God.
They're about to have to, I think they're about to have to work on my back. Nothing on back problems. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to let you guys both go. Thank you guys so much for being on the show. I enjoyed the takes tonight. They were incredible. They were incredible. There are a lot of them. There's going to be a lot to unpack for the people that are watching. Their mind probably has been blown a few times. Hopefully, they've been blown a few times. You know, and it's just been a great having both of you guys on. And we'll look forward to doing it, Joe. I will see you on Saturday. The wife gave the okay for us to go to Pearl River.
Saturday. Oh, nice.
I feel like that was wishful thinking, but
I'm okay. I got the text right here. Hold on, Mary. We can go to Pearl River Saturday.
Wow, nice. What a loving wife.
And then that's great.
All right, guys. Well, thank you all for coming on. We will catch you on the next one.
Sounds great, Ray.
All right.
Okay, now we are going to welcome.
I feel like that was wishful thinking, but
I'm okay. I got the text right here. We have got Boom Boom. We can go to Pearl River Saturday. So, Boom Boom, you're going to have to like mute the TV because there's an echo coming back through what's going on, what's being said. So hit that mute on the TV. All right.
I feel like that was wishful thinking, but
I'm okay. I got the text right here. Okay, this isn't working for Boom Boom. We're having some technical issues, technical difficulties. But it's been a great show. We've had a great time.
He's telling me
what's going on, what's being said. So hit that mute on the TV. All right. This is Boom Boom. Boom Boom is big boomering.
He's boomering.
He's boomering again.
Doesn't have a headset.
No, it's been a great show.
We've
had a great time.
Yeah, he's telling me
what's going on, what's being said. So, well, Boom Boom can't come on. So. Sad. It's just your favorite bar owner now. So anyway, I hope everybody had a great time. I enjoyed it. I had a great time with myself, as I always have. Maybe Boom Boom fix it.
He doesn't have any bar.
He didn't fix it. That's sad. So anyway, we had a great time. I had a great time, as I always do when I'm with myself. And, you know, we had some amazing takes tonight. A lot of fun. The Nelms brothers, I mean, what a great brother. Great brothers. Fantastic interview. The Fat Man movie. If you haven't seen Fat Man, you need to go watch it. Do yourself a favor and watch Fat Man. It's the best. You won't regret the $7 that you spent on the rental. It's amazing. It's my favorite Christmas movie. And then great time with Shank and Joe Gaither. Great guys. Tons of football takes there. Lots to unpack with that one. But another great, great time with those two. And next time we'll have Boom Boom has his audio fixed. And wait, are you here? Can you hear me? Did you get it fixed? Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was a mild technical issue.
Yeah, Boom Boom, boomerang.
I use a Mac.
Technology's hard for people.
The bar was left open when I switched over to Chrome for the technology constraints of our studio. So I am joining from the Mansion Annex in Northport, where we watched the entirety of the Cigar Cast.
Yeah. So what did you think? Did you enjoy the show?
I think it's the best show yet.
Yeah.
And
what do you think of the Nelms brothers?
The Nelms brothers. I really was amazed at. I was amazed that they were as interested in you and your business as we are in them and their business, yeah. And I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah.
And
Hollywood people.
Yeah, and I really want to watch your other movies now because I went and watched trailers for their other movies ahead of the show today, and they all look really good. The Waffle Street, I think, might be the next one. That's the one with Danny Glover. But I tell you what, that the crime movie looked really good, and Lost on Purpose, I think it was the other one. But Fat Man, number one on the Santa Claus movie list.
Yeah, Fat Man is the proof de grace.
I hope everybody will go and you can it's on sale now for like $9.99. You can buy it and then watch it every year.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, next year when you're looking for Christmas movies, and you could watch Fat Man and It's a Wonderful Life and it'd be your Christmas film festival.
Yeah.
I can't imagine watching those movies back to back, but I might try it this year.
Well, me and Devin watched Fat Man again, and yep. I thought it was great the second time around, and I really enjoyed it, and I thought they were a great interview. And then, you know, former Alabama starter for their national championship, Shank Taylor.
He had some amazing takes.
Yeah. What was your favorite?
Well, you know what? I've forgotten about that was the run the damn ball complaint year. Like,
Yes.
Last year, everybody was on Pete Golding's case, wrongfully, in our opinion. We love Pete Golding. And but that year, I remember the complainers. You know, I think it became a T-shirt, run the damn ball. And it was that Alabama, you know, was able to dominate teams on the ground, and they didn't. And I agree that Coker, I think they'd have won all the games anyway coming up to that point, but I think they'd have been better prepared if they had a more prolific passer going into the then Blake Sims had a great season and great year, and you know, good for him. But I think they probably had an opportunity to be a better team when they needed to be a better team.
Yeah.
But it would have taken them moving to Coker early in the season. And that's a really big case of hindsight. But running the ball versus passing the ball with the team they had, that one's a little tougher to understand at the moment.
Yeah. So you're over at the Annex. And I finished one of those. I had one of those brand new Pappy Van Winkle cigars.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Have you had that one yet?
No, I'm smoking a Padron 48.
Good to be you.
Yeah, it is good to be me.
Yeah, Boo Boom being big fancy, smoking a Padron 48. Boy, hide the wealth. Share some of that wealth. So anyway, we got some cool things going on at the mansion and at Northport. The liquor license is coming along, so we should have alcohol hopefully by the end of the year over at the Annex, I think.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. And I think we're about to bring back the Almost Bottomless Golden Hammers and maybe the Bottomless Flights. You know, Almost Bottomless, not quite bottomless, but almost, but not quite bottomless. White, but not exactly, but basically.
Yeah.
You know, lots of still some things to get worked out there.
Yeah.
But Merry Christmas from R&R. It's Reagan and Boom Boom. If you haven't come and gotten Christmas cigars, you still got less than a week. Christmas,
you can be like Mrs. Claus.
Yeah.
And have the, I mean, what did Santa Claus want for Christmas?
He got cigars. He said thanks for the cigars.
Yes.
Yeah. So you got less than a week to come and load up those stockings with stuff from the mansion, because Christmas is coming.
And boxes of cigars look beautiful wrapped under their Christmas tree.
Yeah. Christmas is coming and the fat man cometh. And thank you so much for listening to us ranting and raving and talking with all these people. I hope you guys enjoyed it. You can catch us on Spotify. You can catch us on Apple. Catch us on YouTube. Podcast Addict. If you don't follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, follow us there. And hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back next week with a special Christmas episode of Live from the Mansion, the R&R Cast. We'll catch you next week.